Psalms 115, a beautiful psalm, and it really speaks to the fact of I'll take Jesus as my Savior, and you ought to take him too. But Psalms 115 in verse 1, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy and because of your truth." Why should the Gentiles say, "So where's their God?" I used to say that when I was a Gentile. But our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases, praise God. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Eyes have they, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet have they, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are just like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. And that's why I'm so happy that I have Jesus as my Savior. He has eyes and he's looking at me. He has hands that he's held me. He has a mouth that he speaks to me. He hears me when I pray. And I just praise God for that. I don't have to work for an idol, something that can't speak, that's not animated, it doesn't do anything but just sit there. And I just praise God for the blessings that he has brought to me through his holy word. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, again, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for the individuals under the sound of my voice. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would continue to be here in and out of the pews, Lord, and certainly with me. I ask for a special blessing today, one of those good Sabbath blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. I want to recognize my wife who's here with me. You just raise your hand, honey, just so that folks know who you are. You know, I've been remiss in doing that on occasion when I go to places and my mind is racing and I have so many things on my mind and I forget to do that. But we're not going to do it this time for sure. And also have a guest from Ebenezer, Hope Morales, and she's come up with my wife and myself, and we just praise God for your presence too. Hope, you raise your hand just so folks know who we are. And if you don't mind, I'm going to come down a little bit. I'm not the tallest person in the house, but we have a line crew in the sanctuary here, so I'm sure that you'll be able to see me just fine. Just fine. Now, here's the rules. The rules are this. No sleeping. That's all I asked. If I see you going to sleep and it doesn't look like you're on medication, I'm going to come and stand by you. That's rule number one. And rule number two is, if you would just put it in your mind, because I'm putting it in my mind that every time that I have an opportunity to speak, I'm going to speak as though this is the last time that I'm going to have anything to say for the Lord. So if you would just put it in your mind that this will be the last time that you're going to hear a word from the Lord, then I think we're both going to be on the same page. Amen? That okay? All right. Let us set the stage in Psalms 145. I just love the Psalms, and then we're going to break out of here in just a second. But Psalms 145. Praise God. Psalms 145. I will extol you, my King, O God. I'll praise you. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Psalms 145, verse 1. Verse 2, every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That is what gave David the encouragement to say, I'm going to bless him every single day. Because no matter who you are, the greatness of God has been involved in your life in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're young, old, black, white, Hispanic, African, Russian, it doesn't matter. God is a God of all people. And his greatness is unsearchable. The things that he does, we can't even enumerate. So that's why it's important that we take the time every day, every single day. If there's nothing that you get out of the message of today, please get this, is that when you're by yourself, especially when you're by yourself, you don't have to have it put on any airs for anybody. You don't have to succumb to the policies of anybody or the culture of anybody. Everybody here has their own way to praise God and to give him thanks for the things that he has done for you. So if it is in an infantile way, goo goo gaga, do that. If you have it in such a way where you have PhD and DDs and all the other kind of D's behind your name, then whatever way that you speak to God, do that. Let him know exactly how you feel and that you recognize the things that he has done for you, because he's done wonderful things and he's a great God and he is worthy to be praised. When you have that kind of mindset, that prepares you for whatever the day's things have for you. I know that to be very, very true. Sometimes when it seems like the weight of the world is upon your shoulders, and I'm sure that anybody that has been taking a breath longer than 3 or 4 years in the sanctuary, you know that life can be hard. And if you would just take the time to say, you know, Lord, life is hard for me right now, but I'm going to recognize your greatness in my life. I want to just thank you, number one, that I am alive and that I'm able to even do this. For those of you that are little ones, and I see some little ones in here, and I just praise God for you, it is an amazing thing that God didn't allow you to be a bench. You are a young boy or a young girl, and you are able to tell God, well, thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to recognize who you are. It's a good thing, and animals are a wonderful thing. They're wonderful creatures. But God didn't make us like animals. They don't have the capacity to know that there is a God. They do the things that God has told them to do, but they don't recognize God's supreme being, as being a supreme being. They just tweet and they bark and they meow because that's what God called them to do. But we are able to articulate and let God know that you're great and you're greatly to be praised. So please come with me to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at, well, I'm not going to tell you yet. You just get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll tell you the verse in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Praise God. And by the way, it's not required that you say amen after anything that I say, but if you want to, praise God for it. You know, I just know that you're with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at verse 9. And by the way, the subject today is God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Now, The very first thing, or I should say the second thing, because we definitely wanted to give praise to God and sing for him and recognize his greatness. But the second thing on our plate is we want to recognize, the same way that Paul did, who we are. Who we are. Now, this is a good time. Now that you, I have your attention for a little while anyway, you're able to think for yourself, to sit and reflect on exactly who you are. Who you are, what you've done. Paul did that frequently. He would look and examine himself. In fact, he told us in one of his epistles that we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And Paul frequently went back to how he used to be to really set the stage for those who thought that Paul was not converted or that he might have forgotten where he came from. And so I want you, as well as myself, because I'm going to do the same thing, to recall who I am. Paul just said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. He called out the specific sin that he was doing. And so I ask you, we have, we, as part of the Remnant Church, praise God, and we have a wonderful message that we must bear to a dying world. You know, I appreciate, in fact, George Vanderman had written a book when I first, maybe a few years after I had gotten into the church, and it was a wonderful book, and the title in it had something about friends, but what he was describing is the contributions that many of the denominations had given to the world, and it was done in the George Vanderman way. It was beautiful, the way he had written it, and I really appreciated it because I grew up, I was raised in Catholicism, and as soon as I joined this church, it seemed like there was a vendetta against Catholic people. I was very uncomfortable, and I was very uncomfortable bringing my relatives into a place where there was a meeting, because immediately that would be going on. And so I really appreciated it when I saw a book by one of our great leaders in our church, in our denomination. And he would say things, you know, it was a good for the Anabaptists, for the Baptists, and the truth that they uncovered, the baptism by immersion, and just the mere thought of, this is the way I want to believe, and I have every right to believe this way. That's one of the beauties of America, that we have the opportunity to believe the way our conscience leads us to believe. And we don't have to worry about persecution as of yet. And so the Baptists brought that truth and uncovered that truth. I should say they didn't bring it, but they uncovered it. That's always been the truth of God, that we should be able to believe like we are led to believe. And the Lutherans, a righteousness by faith. How much have we been arguing about that subject, about righteousness by faith? It's a slam dunk. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. But God, through his love for us, gave us Jesus, and it's his righteousness that allows us to be into heaven. And so it's a righteousness by our faith in him. Lutherans uncovered that. And he went on to several different ones, and I even added a few more in my lifetime. It was good for people that are part of the Pentecostal movement. I disagree with many of the doctrines. However, when you are in touch with a Pentecostal person, they believe God for what he said. I can be healed? All right, I'm going to come here for my healing. God said that I'm going to get, I'm going to believe God for that. When they pray, they believe that God's going to answer their prayer. I praise God that their movement uncovered that truth of God, because that's in 1 John 5:14. God says, if you ask anything according to thy will, I hear you. This is the confidence that we have in him, 1 John 5:14 says. So those are truths that were uncovered by different denominations. And then here we come, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the remnant church. We have a solid truth that we are to give to a world that is confused. God says that here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So when we start out on our trek to let people know what the commandments are, certainly, certainly every member of the remnant church ought to point to the greatest commandment. Well, my brother and sister, you need to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Uh-oh, I see some eyeballs wandering. You better wake up. I will come sit next to you. So just two commandments that people had to worry about or to think about. And then once we could wrap our minds around those two, then we got 10 that we can present. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, or make idols and bow down yourself to them. Remember the Sabbath day, honor thy father, thy mother, and on forward. Just 10. Once we get those two down pat, then we get the 10. And then God has a myriad of commands that he's told us to do. Go ye into all the world. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. So we have lots of information for people who just don't know. And so it is my intention to encourage those who are already doing this business of remembering who you are, and then maybe uplifting the idea for those who maybe have gotten tired. Tired. Because there are some in our midst, in our world church, who have gotten tired, and they just come to church on Sabbath as a requirement, as something that I just have to do. I know that I'm supposed to, so I'm just going to be here, and Lord, you take my little offering of my presence here, please. Oh, no. God says, you come here with some delight in your mind. You come here getting away from your own stuff so that I can bless you, so that I can remind you who you are. And the only way I believe that we as remnant people can get right back to where we're supposed to be is if we remember the goodness and the grace of God and how far we have come. So I know, just like you, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, there's not a whole lot of sinners up in here, but I know it is. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. But we have a God who has given us some amazing grace. So I remember myself the things that I have done that were a breaking of God's commandments. But that's not all what sin is. James 4:17 says, if you know to do good and don't, to him it is sin. That's the sin of omission. When I break God's law, that's a sin of commission. But if I just know to do something good and I don't do it, that is a sin of omission, and it's still sin. And how many times in my 54 years Have I known to do something good and didn't? And I am convicted the same way as if I didn't keep the Sabbath or I killed somebody. The Bible also says in Romans 14, the last verse, I don't even remember what the number of the last verse is, probably 30 or something like that. It says, anything that is not of faith, it is a sin. So when I have done my own thing, when I have thought it was me that was the cause of something good, when I have lost my trust in Christ, I sinned just the same way as if I lied or coveted or stole. So this word is a word that I can't escape from. There's no loopholes. That's why I can stand up and say without any hesitation, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, again, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we just read verse 9, but let's look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. What I want you to think about for the remainder of our minutes together is the grace of God towards you, is it in vain? Or could you stand with Paul to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and the grace that he has given me is not in vain. I heard an analogy, and it wasn't, I didn't think it up, and I wish I did. I wish I had of. I would have had a claim to fame. And it was even from a minister from a different denomination as he was describing grace. And I recall when I heard how his descriptor, it arrested my heart. And it caused me to think about myself even deeper. And I got up off of myself, and then I thought about God even deeper. And that just pushed me down into, in a good way, into this message that we have. What a beautiful message that we have. When I truly understood the grace of God. Now, his analogy was this. And, you know, I was told that you all started at 11:30. And, boy, when we were coming into town, right by Baseline on I-10, they got it down to one lane. And it was looking pretty ugly here for a minute. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, what kind of business is that when you got somebody coming to be a speaker and they don't show? I said, that doesn't look good at all. And we were getting kind of worried. We were making good time from Tucson to IKEA. I think that's where Chandler area. It was good. We made good time. I even, you know, kind of looked behind me, and the angels got off for a minute, and then I slowed down, and they got back on, and we made good time. But then as soon as we got to Baseline, it just went boop. And I said, oh, no, we're in trouble. But the Lord was good, and we got here on time, so I'm so happy. Now, since you do start at 11, I know that most of you are probably used to getting out of here at noon, and I won't keep you too much far past that. Just give me about 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll be in good shape. He used the analogy of icebergs. Icebergs. Now, for those of you that know about icebergs, you know that the part that you see on top, that's certainly not all of it. Every one that was connected with the Titanic could tell you that icebergs are huge on the bottom. In fact, the encyclopedia says that the top of the iceberg, generally speaking, is only 1/9 of the total size of that great massive piece of ice that has broken off from a glacier. And so what appears to the eye as being just maybe the size of a building is really just huge. And so he went on to talk about how grace, a lot of us take God's grace for granted, and we just see just the tip, just a little piece. But God's grace is so big and so huge that the part that we don't see. Think about all the times that God has saved your life that you recognize. Now think about 10 times that, the times that you don't even know, that you don't even know. Some of you, all of us are, were kids at one time. Well, all of us are children of somebody. Ain't that the truth? Oh, I said ain't then, didn't I? Excuse me, teachers. But ain't that the truth? There are so many times my mother and father did things for me, I didn't even know that they did it. Me as a parent, my wife, and for those of you that are parents, there's so many things that you've done for your kids, they don't even know. They have no clue of the things, the sacrifices that you've made, and they just are oblivious to those things. Sometimes that makes me mad that they're oblivious to that, but I'm not God. I can't imagine all the times that God has been disrespected because we don't recognize his goodness and his grace. So he used that as an analogy, the iceberg, and he mentioned that there were two brothers, and they were on this race, this dog sled race, like the Iditarod. And he went on to say that they were winning this race, and they were in the last 4 or 5 miles, and it was looking good for the brothers. The younger brother happened to hear some footsteps coming behind, and they're on a dog sled now, and they're going through the snow, and they hear the pitter-patter of paws. And the older brother looks back, and he sees a pack of wolves. And hears the snarling and the growling. And he hears them coming a little closer because the dogs are tired because they have been on these dogs all through the race so that they could be number one. The older brother encourages the younger brother, now don't worry about a thing. We're going to be okay. The dogs are going to make it. Just keep saying mush. Just keep saying mush. The wolves are getting a little closer. Snarls are getting a little closer. In fact, some of the stuff that comes off of them is coming on them, and they're that close. Younger brother says, oh, man, they're getting too close. Big brother, they are getting too close. We're not going to make it. Ah, little brother, have faith. We're going to be okay. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. You're going to be able to get back to your wife. You're going to be able to get back to the kid. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it, little brother. Dogs are panting. Wolves are gnarling and snarling. Big brother says to little brother, I love you, man, and pushes himself off. Younger brother has to hear that ungodly sound. Older brother gave his life so that younger brother could live. It seems to me that Satan, going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, I was one of them. And I had an older brother called Jesus that said, it's going to be okay. And he died for me. But that, it's just the tip of the iceberg. He went on to say that there was a Marine father whose daughter was a missionary, and she went to the middle of the Amazon to places where they hadn't seen anybody else besides their own group. And she was excited about going and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who never heard it before. And they went through the boat and the plane and then a long trek into the jungle, and they finally got to the people that they were going to save through the word. And the tribe killed them and committed a cannibalistic act upon this young girl. The word got back to the father, and as any father would be, angry and just totally distraught at what happened to his daughter. And it was on his mind, I want to get to that place. And it was an ever-consuming mission for this father to get to the middle of the Amazon so I could talk and deal with who killed my daughter. Well, he finally got the opportunity through sacrifice and making enough money and making the connections. He finally got to the place where he could go to the Amazons, and he got to the exact spot and saw the same exact people. And when his eyes gazed upon the group that actually took his daughter's life, he walked towards them. And just as he was about to deal with them in the way that he knew how, he hugged them. He said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Anybody that my daughter gave her life for, I can't reverse that. I must respect the mission that she was on. There's a God who gave or cooperated with the Son. It was all of their idea that he would come and seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me. He decided that in Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, God didn't wait. That's nice, brother, but I ain't done yet. I got 10 minutes.
But you stay there. You stay there. You can't kick me out yet.
Before we tell them about commandment keeping, we tell them about a commander who kept his commandments by coming to save me into you, who gave me the opportunity to come to him just like I was. I did not accept Jesus in the church. I joined the Adventist church from a church, from an evangelistic meeting. But to tell you the truth, brethren, I had a cigarette in my mouth and a pool stick in my hand, and I was shooting, and I was going to knock the eight ball in, and I had a half pint in my pocket, and I put the stick down, and that is where I accepted Jesus. Somebody, because I used to love to fuss with Christians. I hated Christians. And I loved to fuss with them. And I had that concept of reincarnation. and the law of karma. And so I had all the answers that I needed to have about all the woes and the problems of this world. And I used to talk to surface reading Christians because they couldn't answer my questions. And so I would ask them those things. And I finally jumped on somebody who was carrying their Bible. And he wasn't a scholar. He was just like all of us. He says, Dwight, I tell you what. If you follow that philosophy that you're in, you're going to be a good guy. If I follow this, I'm going to be a good guy. The only difference is that the God that I serve says that if you don't believe in him, you're going to be lost. And can you afford that? And then he didn't argue with me no more. He wasn't listening to any of my smack. I didn't become a Christian the next day. In fact, it took 3 more years. But that seed that he planted was in my head. And that's what happened to me when I was playing pool. Can you afford this? I'm not happy. Nothing's changed. Can you afford not to trust in God? And I said to myself right then and there, I can't afford it. It's not worth it. This kind of life is not worth it. And then my heart was opened up for more truth. It was by God's grace. Lastly, he talked about a father who loved his son, and his son loved to emulate him, little boy. And the duties of this father was, I don't even know the exact name of it, but he was the drawbridge, taker-downer, and putter-upper, whatever that is. And his duty was when the boats came, the bridge would go up. When the train comes, the bridge would go down. He would do that at 8 and at 2. 8 o'clock in the morning, bridge goes up, boats come past. Little boy watches dad and he says, you know, dad, I want to be exactly like that. I just love this place. I love everything about it. I just can't get over this. I know exactly what I want to be. Father's proud because his son respects who he is and what he does for a living. He wants to teach his son everything that he does. And so in between the hours of 8 and 2, he would teach him different things, show him all the stuff, the gears and the big levers and the things that run and operate the bridge. And then after lunch, little Tommy was off to his own playing and running. It's getting close to 1:30 and on time for the train to come. Daddy's got to put the bridge down. He's looking around for little Tommy, doesn't see him. Keeps looking, 1:30, 20 minutes to 2, 1:45, 10 minutes to 2, he starts to hear the whistle. 5 minutes to 2, he hears little Tommy cry out, Daddy, Daddy, I'm stuck. Little Tommy's caught in one of those huge gears that's under the big bridge. Daddy looks from his vantage point and sees what's going on. He's got 3 minutes to make a decision. Lord, forgive me. The bridge comes down. Daddy hears that, again, that ungodly sound. There's one thing that the father recognizes as the train comes and it passes by. He sees in all the windows people reading, laughing and joking, smoking their little cigarettes, drinking their little stuff. Not a one of those people in that window knows the price that was paid for them that they might live. Not a one. The father was willing to sacrifice his son so that other people could live. Sometimes people say, where is God when I'm going through my major problems? God's where he's always been, right with you. He's right where he was when Jesus was on the cross, when he gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And all of us sitting in here today were just like the folks in that train. You didn't know that. He did it before you knew it. Jesus died for you before you even knew it. And it's our blessing to recognize that it was he. That it was he who paid the price. And my brother and my sister, that is just the tip of trying to describe the unsearchable riches that's found in the grace of God. That's why I understand when Paul says, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. And the grace of God that has been shed upon me is not in vain. So I ask you, like I ask myself, is that wonderful? In the little stories that we had, that's just the tip of the grace that God has given you. Is what he has given you, is it in vain? And the beauty of that, my dear brothers and sisters, and you can, Lucian, you can play. The beauty part of that is that we can choose whether or not that grace is in vain or not. You can choose. Now, I want to tell you this as we close, and this is a good sign. For those of you that are getting worried, think about what Jesus said when there were workers, and in the first hour that worker went and got his pay, and the second, third, all the way up to the 11th hour, and that person got paid for 1 hour's work the same as all the rest of them did. That, my brother and my sister, lets me know of what a good God we serve. Even if you came in here this morning and right now you understand that God's grace for you has been in vain up to this point, or there's been occasions in your life where God's grace has been in vain, you can turn all that around right now. All of it. Every last little bit. Because God is in the business of taking in those who trust and believe in him. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's no respecter of persons. And he looks upon you individually as to count as to whether you are saved in the choices that you make. That's why I'm so happy to tell somebody who has been a prostitute or a whore that God can make you a virgin again. You can, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when it's time for you to get married, you can put on a white dress. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, or a woman, or a boy or girl, they're a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. If you were a thief, brother, give that stuff back and it'll be like you never stole before. Give it back. Give me my stuff back. A liar, I can't say all of us lied in here, but a whole lot of you have, and a lot, and me too. It can be like you've never said a lie before. Why? Because we have a God that is in the business of changing right away. Changing things. And I love him for it. And that's why I'm going to go along with the psalmist. I'm going to praise the Lord every day. I'll extol you every single day because you are great and greatly to be praised. While every head is bowed and eyes are closed, amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I'll never know how Jesus came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults, and my Lord saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous that grace that brought me safe thus far. He looked beyond my faults, and my Lord saw my need. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to just stay here a little longer. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that where you're sitting right now. It's between you and God. If you know that God's grace hasn't been what it should be in your life and how you've recognized his goodness and his greatness, you can rededicate your life right now just where you are. If you need prayer for the struggles that you're going through in your life, sometimes you may not know the end from the beginning or where you're going, but you just need that extra push. God is talking to you right now, right where you are. And he's willing to change things for you if you would just trust in him. If you would like to join this great church by profession of faith or through Bible studies, the doors are open, and you also can do that. But what I would like you to do, all of you, for those that are accepting Jesus Christ, for those that know that you need to rededicate yourself and recognize God for who he is, for those that would love to be part of this remnant church, and you've made that plain in your own mind, after the services, I'll just meet you up here and let me just rejoice with you on the decision that you made. And let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We ask for your presence and your guidance and your light and your love to be on all who are enjoying camp meeting. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to help us keep your Sabbath holy. Help us to call it a delight. Help us to delight ourselves in this wonderful time that you've given us to think about your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God.